Let's open the Word of God together, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we will be reading a short passage this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come together this morning, and all of us here come needing to meet with you, needing to hear from you, God. Without your words, we have nothing. And if you don't speak to us, we do not know you, and we do not know what we are to do. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning, that we would hear from you, that your Spirit would be working and active in me as I speak and in each person here as they hear, Lord. May they receive your words this morning. Pray that you would bring conviction where it needs to come, Lord, that you would bring help and healing and life, Father. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen. Each one of you here this morning is here because whether you have them now or had them at one point, you did have a mother and a father. That's the only way any human being can come into this world after the first two. And so the sermon and this text has application for each and every one of us here this morning, though different application depending on what our stage in life is. But I wonder if you reflect on your life and your relationship with your mother and father, I just wonder how it's going. How are you doing with reference to your parents? If you're still in their home today, under their authority, under their instruction, how's that going for you? How are you relating to them? How do you hear these words that you're to obey and to honor your mother and father? I wonder, are you living with a heart that's constantly rebelling against the parents that God has given you? Maybe you live in constant pushing back against their authority, pushing back against their instructions and their rules. Maybe you're here this morning and you're still living under the authority and care of your parents, and you have a heart to obey them and you have a heart to receive their instruction, but it's hard. It's not easy. It doesn't just flow. Butts up against your own desires, your own passions, your own wants. Maybe you're here and it's been decades since you were under the authority and care of parents in their home. I wonder if you think back, what characterized your life as a child in your parents' home under their care and instruction and authority? How did that go for you? if you're there decades out, how's your relationship with your parents? Do you live as one who honors them? See, we all come today in all these different situations with different relationships to mothers and fathers, different ways that we have responded to them. And I want to say that no matter which of those places you find yourself in, there is help and hope for any one of you in any of these situations and in countless others. There is help and hope in the Word of God that we have before us this morning. Now, as we open this Word and we read in Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, we realize that there's two things, and I've already alluded to this. First of all, who are the children? The word itself, children, is simply, it refers more to the relationship than the age of the person. So a child in this particular word is more in relation to the parent than at a certain age. And of course, honor your mother and father. A mother and father are your mother and father no matter how old you are. And no matter how old they are, they remain your mother and father. Now in the first part of the verse here, children, though it doesn't technically refer to a certain age of children, I think because of the context here, verse 4 speaks to fathers in relation to their children and bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I think when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, he has specifically in mind those children who are still under the care and authority and instruction of their parents in their own home. And so in Ephesians 6, 1, this has the most direct application to those who are still in their parents' home and under their parents' authority. Now, to get the rest of the context, there's a phrase here that will lead us into the rest of the book to see where all this is coming. And that phrase is, in the Lord. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what's going on there? Paul uses that phrase throughout this book. And I think what he's marking there is that here he is specifically giving Christian instruction. He's giving Christian instruction. And what this keys us to is that to live the Christian life, there are some things that need to be in place. To live the Christian life, you require, first of all, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which is to say you need the new birth, regeneration, you need to be made new, you need to be in Christ. And this is all true of a Christian by definition. Right? What does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2? He says that when we were dead, God made us alive. When we were dead, God made us alive. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. To be a Christian is to be alive to God. You were dead, and now you are alive to God. You've been saved through faith, and this faith is not something that you just came up with on your own. It's a gift of God. And so to be a Christian is to be born again. If you are in Christ, you have been made alive and you have been given a new heart and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and all these things that are benefits of being saved are things that are required to live out Christian obedience. They come at the beginning, right? New birth comes at the beginning of the Christian life. And so in order to hear and respond to in a God-oriented way the instructions that God gives to his people, you need to be a Christian. Now, why does he say here, children, obey your parents in the Lord? Because Paul doesn't only want a well-ordered home with children honoring and obeying parents. He wants a well-ordered home where the children are believers and obeying and honoring in humble reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit because they are united to Christ by faith. Does Paul command all children to obey and honor parents? Yes. Are all children in Christian homes to be required to obey and honor their parents? Yes. But Paul is here speaking in the context of Christian walk resulting from the great work of God in Christ on our behalf. Paul wants children walking carefully in wisdom by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Where do we see that? Where do we see that? Doesn't Paul just give a simple command here? Doesn't he just say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? Isn't this just a straight up, here is what you should do? Well, that's not the case, right? This is in a letter, and which has a structure, and we need to first, before we apply this instruction, understand where it comes from. So look at chapter 4, verse 1 for a moment. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So did you hear that word there, walk? The word I used before. He says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy. And he says, therefore I urge you to walk in a certain way. He's just spent 3 chapters unpacking the glories of the eternal plan of God, unpacking the glories of salvation in Christ Jesus, unpacking the glories of the cross in uniting Jew and Gentile in one new person and bringing us to God and bringing us to each other. And now he's unfolding what needs to happen in light of these things. He says, therefore, walk. And he structures the second half of the book, Ephesians 4 through 6, around those two words, therefore, walk. Each section of practical instruction for how to live, how then should we live in light of the fact that Christ has come and Christ has died and Christ has risen and Christ has bought for himself a people of this great salvation that Paul talked about, this great being made alive in Christ, being brought from death to life. He frames how then should you live in terms of therefore walk. He uses it in several places. First of all, 4:1, and then again in 7, and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And in 5 verse 2, in 5 verses 1 and 2, Paul says again, therefore be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Then another section in verse 8, 7 and 8, therefore, he says, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. And again in chapter 5, verse 15, we again have this same marker. Here he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And that's the section where, the beginning of the section where we find this particular instruction for children in relationship to their parents. Now let's look a little bit more closely because we need to understand how exactly it connects. And I'll show you that if I can. In verse 15, Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, marking another section of practical instruction. He says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And no longer get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled by the Spirit. Okay? Be filled by the Spirit. And what characterizes a life filled by the Spirit? Paul gives us a few things. These are the results of a life filled by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. resulting in that you will address one another, verse 19 of chapter 5, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Number 2, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Number 3, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number 5, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the life that's filled by the Spirit is characterized by these things, the last of which is submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then Paul unfolds what that submission looks like. It looks like wives submitting to husbands. It looks like children obeying parents. It looks like slaves obeying masters. He defines it for us. What does that submission look like? And so that's where we find this instruction. This instruction falls under this category of Spirit-empowered submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so it's not just a command kind of taken off on the side that's totally unrelated to everything Paul's doing in this letter. This is a characteristic of the Spirit-filled Christian life. And so to live the Christian life, we need to be a Christian. We identified that. We need to be born again. We need to have the Spirit dwelling in us. But we also need to live in humble dependence upon that same Spirit to empower us to walk in obedience and holiness in our lives. And so as I said, Paul doesn't just want an ordered home. He's specifically speaking in the context of Christian walk resulting from the great work of God in Christ on our behalf. Paul wants children walking carefully in wisdom by the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so that is where we find ourselves. This is meant to land on you, this command, children, obey your parents. It's meant to land on you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, in a way that it will not land quite the same on someone who is not a believer. You see, as a Christian, you, whether you're 9 years old or 13 years old or 18 years old, you are interested in the will of God. You want to be wise, to make the best use of time, to put off foolishness and know the will of God for you, which, if you are a child in the home of your parents, that will is that you obey and honor your mother and father. The will of God for you in your specific situation as one under the care and authority of your parents is to obey and honor. Do you see that in verse 1 there? We need to remind ourselves again. In verse 1, children, obey your parents. And verse 2, honor your father and mother. So it's quite clear. It's quite clear what he's saying. There's two imperatives, two commands, obey and honor. So what does he mean by obey? Maybe you have an idea of obey in your head. Does Paul maybe have a completely different idea of obey in his head? Well, how is the word used in the Bible? We can look at it just a couple of places. It's a common word. Think of the story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples. There's a storm. Jesus is sleeping. The disciples freak out. They wake him up. We're all going to die. And he says, what's the big deal? Storm, stop. It ends. And then in Luke 8:25, he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him? So what does obedience mean there? They did exactly what he said, right? The wind and the waves, calm, right? Obedience in that verse simply meant that it did what he said. Nature obeys the Son of God. So obey means to do what someone says. In Acts 5:29, we have the apostles. They have been running around the city, preaching, proclaiming the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and they've been taken aside by some rulers, elders, and said, you need to stop that. You are not permitted to speak in the name of Jesus. And they go and do it anyway, and they call them back in, and they say, what's going on with you guys? We told you not to. You're preaching. And Peter says, and the apostles answer, we must obey God rather than men. You told us to do one thing. We did not obey. We went and did it anyway because we need to obey God rather than men. Again, obedience means doing what God says in contrast to doing what they say, right? So obedience is living in line with what God would want them to do. One more text, Hebrews chapter 8, chapter 11, verse 8, talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Again, it just confirms that obedience is probably what you thought it was. God said, go. Abraham went. That was obedience. And so when Paul says, children, obey your parents, that's what he means. He means, children, do what your parents tell you to do. Don't do what your parents tell you not to do. That's what he means when he says, children, obey your parents. So, again, obedience is straightforward. It doesn't mean that obedience is easy, but it does mean that it's not complicated, right? Dad says, Johnny, would you empty the dishwasher before you go outside to play? What does obedience look like, right? Obedience does not look like going to your room, reading a book for a while, then going outside to play, and then saying, oh yeah, I was just going to do the dishwasher thing a little bit later because it worked out better for me, right? No, it's very obvious. Obedience means you emptied the dishwasher before you go outside to play. That's obedience. So again, it's not complicated. That doesn't mean it's easy. It's not complicated. Doesn't mean it's easy. One helpful definition that kind of fills it out a little bit more. I think Jared alluded to this in one of his sermons. It's taught in a book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, just to characterize what do we mean by obedience? What does it look like to obey? And it means to do it without delay, without challenge, and without excuse, right? So we want to talk about the fullness of obedience there. It's when you respond right away to what you've been instructed to do. You respond without challenging your parents' authority, and you do it without making some kind of excuse to not do what you were asked. Without delay, without challenge, without excuse. And what that illustrates is that this is about authority, right? This is a response to authority. Paul tells children to obey parents because parents have authority over children, and it doesn't reverse itself. The parents have authority over the children, and the children need to respond appropriately in obedience. At the end of the day, especially for the older children, at the end of the day, your job is not to evaluate your parents' requirements of you and decide, according to your own wisdom and knowledge, that those requirements are acceptable, and then you will comply without making a big deal, making a big fuss, because the rule seems like a good rule to you, right? I'll obey without a fuss because I agree with what you're saying to me. That's not really obedience, isn't it? I mean, it's fantastic when you agree with your parents. That's beautiful. It would be wonderful if that happened 100% of the time. But when you are agreeing with your parents, you don't really have to obey them, do you? Because you would have done that thing anyway or not done that thing anyway. Because you already agree. Unless you are simply acting in contrary to what you want to do, which is just weird, right? Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do, and I want to do it, I'm not going to do it. But that's not how we live, right? So, if you are agreeing with them, then that's not really where the rubber meets the road, does it? If a parent said, you know, Rachel, we don't think that that movie would be something that you could watch to the glory of God, and we don't think it would be edifying for your soul, so no, you can't watch that. But does that rarely play out in saying, yeah, I wasn't going to watch that anyway. I never even thought about watching that movie. That's not what happens in parenting, right? It's when the parent says, Rachel, we don't think that movie would be something you could watch to the glory of God. We don't think it would be edifying for your soul, so no, you can't watch it, but you want to watch it. You think it would be good to watch it. All your friends are watching it. You have 37 reasons for why your life is going to be miserable if you don't watch it. Right? Now, obedience is called for. Obedience is called for. And I'll just say this here. Every instance of this, it really what it comes down to an issue of faith and trust. Who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe God, who says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? Or am I going to obey myself, who says, that's not a good idea. I would rather do something else, so I will submit to me and my own desires as opposed to God and what he says. Now, Paul, right in verse 1 here, he gives a reason, an extra ground for why you ought to do this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Why obey? It's right. Obeying parents is right. Now, that word, though, ought to remind us of something Paul said just a bit back in chapter 5. Remember, if we were just reading through this letter in one go, we would be remembering things that came not that long ago. And so, let me just draw your attention to something that connects right here. Just in back to chapter 5, verse 7, and we actually just read part of this. In chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. There's our phrase, in the Lord. And he says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Good and right and true. There's our word. He says, we need to obey parents, for this is right. And he just said in the last chapter that the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And so obedience to parents at the end of the day is the fruit of light. It is a walking in the light in contrast to walking in the darkness, right? If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are light in the Lord, and the fruit of light is whatever is right and whatever is good and whatever is true. And so Paul is saying more than just an abstract kind of this is right. He's saying this is right. It's right because God says it's right, and he's going to base that in the next verse on previous scripture. But also, this is right, and because it's right, that means it is the fruit of light. It is the fruit of walking in the light as a Christian. And so again, we remember that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called to live out your faith, and you are called to live it out in the context of your own home if you're still under the authority and care and rule of parents. Now, the flip side of this is that rebellion against parental authority, disobedience to parents, is an expression of rebellion against God. And we can say it even more strongly than that. More strongly, it is the result of rebellion against God. Look quickly at Romans chapter 1, if you can turn there fast. I'll read it for you if you don't want to. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We see Paul saying in Romans chapter 1, he says, since people exchanged the glory of God for created things, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things, do you hear that? Deserve to die. Deserve to die. They not only do them, but they give approval to those who do them. But did you hear that? What was on the list there? Disobedient to parents makes the list of the things that where people are filled with all manner of unrighteousness as a result of rejecting the glory of God for the glory of created things. They're given over to all these things, and disobedient to parents is the result of rebellion against God. And then it says that those who practice such things deserve to die. Have you ever considered the gravity of that in your own life? I just want to say something to you. If your life is characterized by rebellion against your parents, you don't want to do what they say. You don't want to listen to them. You certainly don't honor them in your actions, your attitudes, your thoughts, your feelings. I have to tell you today that you're in grave danger. If your life is characterized by that, and it's true that those who are disobedient to parents deserve to die. In other words, they understand that you deserve the wrath of God. You deserve the wrath of God. If your life is characterized by that, you are in grave danger. You are in grave danger, and you are under the wrath of God. But because of the grace of God, you do not have to die. You do not have to die. Cast yourself upon Christ. Run to him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Be saved from your sinful rebellion against your parents. Be saved by the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ and his substitutionary death on your behalf. His justifying, vindicating resurrection from the dead. You do not have to die, though you deserve to die. Turn to him. Now, for those of you who are living in home with your parents and you're trying to live in obedience, you want to walk in submission to your parents, but it's hard. It's hard. There's hope here for you too. You see, you need to rest in Jesus and realize that he's not left you alone to do this. He's given you his Spirit to dwell within you, and he has said to you to be filled by the same Spirit with all these things, one of which is submitting to the proper authorities in your life. You don't have to do this in your own power. You cannot do this in your own power. But remember something else that's true of you if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are wrestling with this. You are no longer a son of disobedience, as they say in Ephesians chapter 2. You were a son of disobedience. as a son of disobedience in rebellion to God, as an unbeliever, your disobedience to your parents is the outflow of who you really are at your core. But as a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you do disobey your parents, that is not flowing out of the core of who you really are as a son of disobedience, because you no longer are that. You are new. You are now a son of the living God, adopted in Christ Jesus, seated with him in the heavenly realms, and you have his Spirit in you. That is not who you really are anymore. And so there is great help for you. Not only that, but obedience to your parents is actually one of the good works that was prepared before all eternity for you to walk in. Prepared before all eternity. Why would I say that this is something that was prepared then, right? Ephesians chapter 2, prepared in advance for you. Let's look there just for a second. I'm in the wrong book here. Romans, nope. Back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. You've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. You, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, recreated in Christ Jesus, for good works. Good works, thumbs up. In Christ Jesus, you are created for them, and God actually prepared them beforehand for you to walk in, right? So what are the good works you're supposed to walk in? Everything from Ephesians 4 through Ephesians 6. Walk, 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 walk. These are the things that God prepared beforehand for you to walk in. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what you were made to do in Christ Jesus. And you don't have to do it on your own. You do it by the power of his Spirit working in you. Now let's just think for a moment about you who, those of us who are out of our parents' homes. We haven't been there for years, but I don't know about you, but when I was studying through this passage, I was just reminded again that when I was under my parents' authority, I was living in constant rebellion against that authority. I was characterized by disobedience. So what do you do if that's you right now? I just want to ask you, have you ever, now I'm assuming you're sitting right here and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever dealt with that with your parents? Have you repented of that? Or have you just kind of left it in the background? I hope that this word brings conviction to your soul, but then realize that you are free in Christ to own that rebellion. That is who you were. That is what you did. You don't have to pretend like it didn't happen. It's forgiven. Now you can actually deal with it. And so maybe you need to write a letter. Maybe you need to make a phone call and say, you know, I know we don't talk about that, but I've never asked you to forgive me for my dishonor and disobedience of you when I was in your home. Now let's look at the second verse briefly. Verses 2 and 3. Paul says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So honor your father and mother. Now this verse, we don't have to go very far to apply it to each and every one of you. We can simply ask ourselves the question, right now, today, where you're sitting, is this your relation to your mother and your father? Whether you're 16 or 63, this is still the call on your life to honor your mother and your father. And so I think it is right to ask yourself if that's what characterizes you, because you still are called by this passage as part of your discipleship, as part of living out the gospel working in your life, as part of submitting to the Spirit's work in your life, the fruit is to see honoring of your mother and your father. And I think you can easily apply that to yourself today. It's a call to everyone. It's a call to everyone. Now, here is a place we can mention just a particular extra challenge between these two verses to both to older, but also as we think about those who are still in the homes of their parents. It says to honor your father and your mother. You're to obey your parents, right? Now, one pastor pointed out that often in, as we're living in our homes, if you, maybe you think back, or maybe this is you today, you go out with your friends to someone else's house, and you come back, and the parents ask the other parents, you know, how was Jimmy? Like, oh, he was great. I mean, he helped out. He asked if he could help clean up after the supper, and you know, we asked the kids not to play in the living room. We asked them to go play down the way, and it was awesome. He's listening. It was great. And you kind of look at them like, really? You know, that's not how it works here, right? Like, there's this level of where it's easier to honor and obey somebody else's parents, right? Now, why is that? Because you're with them for this short amount of time, and they're not actually making the decisions generally that push against where you want to go, right? Right? Those aren't the parents who are saying, you know what? No, you can't go out with those friends on that night, right? That's not other people's parents. That's your parents who are going to tell you that. It's your parents who are going to say, you know what? Nope, those clothes, that's not okay. Like, we just don't think that's appropriate for you to wear, and you can't wear that. It's your parents who say those things to you. It's not someone else's parents. And so, yeah, it's in one sense, it's easier to be all pleasant and honoring and obedient when you're visiting Jimmy's house. And then you get home, and mom says, you know, would you please do this? And there's all kinds of attitude and rejection of that. But you are to obey and honor your parents. It's not qualified by if you desire to, if you like to, if they say things you want. It's not even qualified by issues of Christian liberty. Now, this can come up as a child gets older and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you start to think, well, my parents says no, but I kind of think that in the Bible that's sort of an area that's up for grabs for Christians. Like, it's not specified that I have to be home at 10. Like, isn't that fall under the area of Christian liberty, right? No. You know why? I'll tell you. It's really tricky. You know, you got to get all these fancy, like, biblical theology, exegesis, and answer the tricky questions. Because God actually said, obey your parents and honor them. He didn't say, unless it's an area where you think that you should go a different way. He just said, obey your parents. And so maybe that issue is an issue of Christian liberty, but obedience to your parents is never an issue of Christian liberty. You're not free to disobey your parents. But probably partly because of the fact that it is difficult to live under authority and to obey and honor, Paul just simply highlights here, and God has built into his world the fact that there's a promise. There's something that's held out. There is life that's held out in this. This is not something that Paul says so that parents can have children who don't do things they don't want them to do. This is something that Paul says because actually the way that God has set up his world is that you honor your mother and father that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land or live long on the earth. There is a promise of well-being and long life for those who would obey and honor their parents. That is how God has set up the world. So it does two things. It shows children that God has their best interest in mind here. He doesn't just put you under authority arbitrarily just because. He puts you under authority because authority is a good thing. Godly authority is a good thing. And he puts you under authority because he's holding forth to you, this is where well-being and life are for you. I give you a mother and a father so that you can experience well-being and good life as you live in humble obedience and submission to them, honoring them, respecting them, esteeming them. That is something that is not widely practiced in our culture. So maybe you ought to think, if you are a child in your parents' home, how you might practically honor your mother and father. But it's held forth as life. And it also shapes, and we're going to talk to fathers next week, but it shapes the fact that you're requiring obedience and honor from your children. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God, and it's about the good of your children. You want them to obey you and honor you because it's going to go well for them, because they'll live long in the land. There is life that's held forth here because this is what God says. It's not so that you can not be annoyed or have them do what you want to do or just have this, you know, well-structured, well-run, smooth machine. It's for their good. It's for their good. And so in conclusion, I just want to remind us that we are called in the Christian life to live out of the good news of the gospel. And Paul really fills that in throughout these chapters in Ephesians very clearly. He gives general instructions that are applicable to every believer in every stage of life. And then he kindly gives us instructions that shape particular relationships, husbands and fathers, parents and children, slaves and masters, in a way that would bring honor to him, and with parents and children particularly, would create long life and well-being. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And you do this in humble dependence upon the Spirit of God as he works deeply in your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know that there are many of us who have not taken heed to your word. We have not believed your words. We have not trusted you in this, and we have gone our own way and we have rebelled. I pray that today there would be forgiveness received for the blood of Jesus Christ, that there would be even be hearts that would be made new right now, today, that people would be redeemed from a life of rebellion against parents and really a life of rebellion against you, and that they would be rightly oriented to you, glorifying you, and then relating to their parents in the way that you called them to. I pray that you would strengthen every child here, especially every child who still lives in their parents' home. Lord, that you would strengthen them, that they would see their obedience and honoring of their parents as their call to glorify you, their call to walk in dependence upon your Spirit, their call to walk in a manner worthy of the call that you've given them in Christ Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.